This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's not too late still to wish you a happy new year. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Audrey Raj alongside
Arvind Yuvaraj. And today's top stories include Post Malaysia waiting for a juicy offer for one of its arms, Google's Waymo updates before CES, and something to help you design stuff on your social media postings. But first, a serious story on foreign worker levies.
Yeah, this whole foreign worker levy issue has been heating up over the last couple of weeks. I mean, last week we talked about how restaurant owners, especially the Indian and Mamat restaurants, they're really upset about difficulty in acquiring a foreign workforce, saying that it's costing them a lot of revenue. And now the Star is reporting that struggling employers want the government to reverse the decision, forcing bosses to pay the annual levy for foreign workers.
Yeah, so the SME Association of Malaysia confirmed that representatives of various industries will try to meet with the government over its latest policy, because they want the government to cancel or even reverse the policy altogether. They feel the government should have discussed the move with employers first before putting it in place, and they went as far to say that they feel the government is punishing employers and could potentially affect the economy with this policy. They are mad, yo.
So basically, under the Employer Mandatory Commitment, or the EMC, this of course came to light, came into effect on Sunday. Employers cannot deduct the yearly fee from the wages of their foreign workers, and this has pretty much caused a lot of frustration for a lot of employers and business owners, because you know, they've been doing this for so long, and what do they do now? How do they pay for this?
Yeah, so here are the parties that will be debating this policy and have voiced out so far. The Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers said they would be writing to the Home Ministry for clarification and a request for a dialogue. And then the Malaysian Employers Federation, or the MEF, meanwhile claims forcing bosses to pay foreign workers levies could cost them an additional 5 billion ringgit every year.
And this is in addition to the 3 billion employers would have to pay annually with the increase in the minimum wage that happened last July, right? So the MEF also said that every extra cent earned by foreign workers would be remitted to their home countries. They described the EMC, which makes employees fully accountable for their foreign workers until they return to their countries. They said this is utterly unfair.
But then you have to wonder if it's not for the responsibility of, I mean, if it's not the responsibility of the employer, right? And then whose is it? Well, the MEF is saying that the government should be the ones responsible for the workers who run away instead of the employers, because they have the authority and the resources to handle it.
Well, so that's one side of the debate. But on the flip side, the new policy has some supporters who feel, you know, it's a good move. Like the Malaysian Trades Union Congress, they were pleased with the EMC. They said that they have been pushing for employers to pay for foreign workers levy for a long time.
Yeah, and apparently, according to the MUTC, making it more costly to hire foreign workers, employers would be forced to employ Malaysians. It also rejected claims that locals were unwilling to work in 3D jobs, which is, 3D means dirty, dangerous and demeaning. Further stating that locals will do the 3D jobs if you pay them enough and if they knew their jobs were secure.
Well, you can't really argue with that logic. The whole reason Malaysians don't want to do these 3D jobs, or what is reported so far, it all boils down to wages and basic salaries. And there are two sides to this debate, and both parties are making some pretty valid points. So we'll just have to wait and see how this one pans out, right? Okay, before we move on to our next story on the guys who bring your Zalora and your Lazada purchases to you at your office, we break for some music here. Who Can It Be Now by Men at Work, BFM 89.9.
Bankers, financiers and moneymakers, BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bites. Audrey Raj, Arvind Yuvaraj is in the studios with me. Our next story is about your friendly neighbourhood postal service, our loved and cherished Post Malaysia.
Whoa, so much love for Post Malaysia. Okay, well, as reported by the NST, Post Malaysia says it's willing to sell a stake in its courier unit, Post Laju, if the price is right. So now, unlike most other national postal companies, Post Laju is actually the market leader in the courier market here, commanding some 40% of the pie.
Yeah, so Post Malaysia calls Post Laju the jewel in its crown. It's a lot of love for Post Laju there. And you know, this year, the courier revenue is set to overtake that of traditional postal services, your snail mail. So Postlaju's contribution to Post Malaysia's bottom line is only expected to rise.
Yeah, now the news on a potential stake sale caught me by surprise, but Post Malaysia claims they have, from time to time, received offers for collaboration and proposals to buy into the postal services various units. And despite admitting that they haven't actually come across a proposal that is, you know, like juicy enough, they are open to collaborations or strategic tie-ups.
You know, speaking of strategic tie-ups, Post Malaysia CEO Datuk Shukri, he just a few months ago, he flew to China to meet with the senior peeps from Alibaba.
Looks like the, you know, the Alibaba news friendly continues even into this year.
Yes, and they said that they said the meet was to establish a more direct logistics role for Post Malaysia and Alibaba. You know, just to leverage on the growing e-commerce trend around the world. They want to cut out the middlemen and work directly with Alibaba. It totally makes sense.
Yeah, so do you think Alibaba could be interested? I mean, didn't Alibaba just tighten its grip on the, you know, Singapore Post? Mm. They own what, about, I think about 14%, yeah. The second biggest shareholder in the company.
Yeah, so they've got an interest in our neighbours. You know, it just sounds logical, right? But when reporters asked Post Malaysia if this direct collaboration meant Alibaba buying into Postlaju, Datuk Shukri actually said, for Post Malaysia to divorce Postlaju, the offer has to be juicy enough. He used the juicy word again.
Juicy. Mm. Well, needless to say, the crazy growth in online shopping via Amazon, Alibaba, Zalora, and even, you know, Lazada means customers who buy anything from, you know, clothes, books, to sports equipment online will have their products delivered by a courier service.
Yeah.
The logistics business here is only going to keep growing, so it would be worth Alibaba's time to, you know, make them that juicy offer, quote unquote.
That's true. All right, we're going to shift our sails a bit. Our next story, we dive into the world of graphics and design.
Yeah, so Pixteller is a unique little service that could possibly make designers obsolete, like almost obsolete. It won't, but you know. the platform that was created by Romanian web designer Alexandru Rosnovat, I hope I didn't butcher his name, and it's a sort of instant design studio with plenty of ready-made templates that you can create your you know, clever Instagram memes or fun book cover design in just a few seconds.
Yeah, so here's how it works. After making an account and logging in, you'll be presented with dozens of pre-made designs that are, you know, fairly innocent. And then you can select a Facebook header, a book cover, or a snappy meme for those dozens of templates and just get started.
Yeah, then you begin designing and editing. Everything on the screen works like a vector graphic, except, you know, obviously photographs. And you can edit text and add in shapes like you would in a standard design program like Photoshop or Illustrator. So just like Tinkercad, it's a fun and easy way to get small design projects done with relatively minimum effort. And right now, the service is free to try. If you like it, you can subscribe for about $9 a month if you want to download edited documents without a watermark.
So Rosnovat says that the editor is really fast to use. For example, he created all the current templates, which is like more than, what, 4,000 designs. Mm-hmm. He did this all in just about 3 weeks.
Yeah, so here's the thing. People are always worried that web-based solutions like this are going to replace designers. Honestly, it won't, because you still need actual creativity to be a professional designer, and tools don't really matter that much, you know, if you don't have that. But I guess a web-based software is pretty decent solution for, like, let's say, folks with tablets or smaller laptops who want to, you know, get very simple designs done.
Yeah, I agree. And while it will never truly replace a good design tool like your Photoshop, I think I could see this as a way to sketch out ideas and share them really quickly. And it's just perfect for social media. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, at least there's one more platform out there to make memes.
Memes.
Yeah. Anyway, we have to take a super short ad break, but we'll be talking about something way more on the tech side. Pun intended. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Being first matters. BFM 89.9.
And we're back, eh, brother? Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Audrey Raj. He's Arvind Yuvaraj. And we're on to our final story, a story that's way more on the tech track.
Way more on the tech track.
I said it again. Yes.
So we know Fiat Chrysler and Alphabet are already working together on Waymo. That's Waymo. Mm-hmm. But now reports say Google is also teaming with Fiat for an in-car system tech project. They plan on using Android as the base for a new infotainment and connect car platform.
Yeah, so this new FCA in-car system is called UConnect, and it uses the Android 7.0 to deliver a range of features, including Android app compatibility, as well as more traditional in-car controls like your aircon or terrestrial radio. So not only will your car be able to tell you when you have a new email or a Facebook notification, you could also possibly adjust your aircon temperature via your phone.
Yeah, so, and here's the thing, right? Google wants its work with Fiat Chrysler to go well beyond beyond the Android Auto model, which essentially is a simplified, driver-friendly and distraction-reducing version of Android that you use via an in-car display or mounted smartphone. Google wants to push further into the dashboard of users and do so in a way that is more deeply integrated with car makers' software and systems themselves.
Yeah, and for the car maker, Google and Android offer unique, real flexibility that give them the advantage of being able to offer customers app compatibility, but without having to give up total control of the branding and customer relationship. Because you know how each car maker has its own identity when it comes to the look and feel of the car on the inside, right? So they won't have to change this to incorporate the Android in-car tech.
Yeah, so this is quite an advantage that Google has, which is available to Apple, that isn't available to Apple. So Apple are also trying to more closely integrate its mobile products into users' in-car lives via their CarPlay project, but it's unlikely Apple would ever cede control over the look and feel of the interface to automakers, you know, because how they pride themselves with the look and feel and the wow factor of their products, right?
Yeah.
So they're not going to want to give that up.
Yes, but letting automakers take responsibility for the look and feel of the in-car software interface isn't, I don't think it's the ideal solution either, because they've proven quite clumsy when it comes to UX in the past. And you know how car makers face rigorous rules for preventing distraction? It's a big deal. So they too would not want to completely cede control of the interface design entirely to your OS makers anyways. But both because of this and, of course, their desire to control the customer experience.
Yeah, so Android's flexibility could prove key to getting it more presence in vehicles heading into a time when the in-car experience becomes something new and valuable, and when autonomous cars become, start to gain ground,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So regardless of the experience, it's a smart strategic move for Google at this stage.
Yeah, that's true. So that's all we have for today's Enterprise Biz Bytes. But stick around, because later at 12:30 p.m. in just a few minutes, actually, we have a double guest special on the Breakfast Grill replay. Sharat Kutin spoke to Dr. Mark Lovett, the CEO of Business Integrity Alliance, together with Lee Kim Miao, the Managing Director of Top Glove Corporation.
In case you didn't know, the Business Integrity Alliance, or BIA, was set up in 2016 to identify and eliminate corruption through engagement with the business community in Malaysia. And on the replay later, they'll be discussing integrity and ethics in business.
Yeah, and later on at 1 p.m., it's Tech Talk with Angeline Tay. Yes, you know, Angie Tay will be hosting Tech Talk as she speaks to the co-founders of Carput. So stick around or get us on your smartphone by downloading the BFM mobile app. This has been Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Audrey Raj.
I'm Arvind Yuvaraj,
BFM
89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.